Pharrell Williams and Happy from Despicable Me 2. Have you seen it? Anyone else seen it in the studio? Seen Despicable Me?
Yeah.
Is it? You're about to question, as you say, it's in Despicable Me, the first one, aren't you?
No. I was going to say, it's amazing.
It is amazing.
Both
it is.
Number one and number two.
I've got, just totally off topic, totally and utterly off topic, but I've got a text alert on my phone. It goes, babble. have you seen the little animation with the bananas?
Oh.
Yeah, but they run after the banana.
That's good.
Yeah, no, it's weird, isn't it? It's weird that I can even do it that well. Right, who are all these voices in my studio this morning?
Getting to know you.
Well, they're all very lovely people who've come in today to talk to us about mental health. For today is Time to Talk Day, Mental Health Awareness Day. And we have all the sorts of questions that we want to ask, but sometimes we're a bit too afraid to ask. Get a bit stressed out and you'll be like, work, people. No stupid questions today. There are no stupid questions. If you've got one, you can find us on Facebook, Phoenix FM. You can find us on Twitter, at Phoenix FM. You can message us through the app. You can send us an email, radio@phoenixfm.com. And we will do our best to answer all of your questions in as much detail as we can. So first things first, let's have a quick whip round the room and just shout your names out for me all so we all know who's in the studio with Rob this morning. We have...
Laura.
Robin.
Daisy.
Sarah.
Emma. Paul. Now, we're going to start with Paul this morning because Paul is such a good man, right, that he's going to work in about 10 minutes' time. And I've got to say as well, he has totally and utterly outdone me with the dress sense. Bow tie and everything. I love it. I am... Massive respect. Paul, hello.
Hello.
How are you this morning? Well,
I'm
is this a normal good. Hour of the day for you? This is
absolutely not.
No,
I'm
no.
Dragging myself out of bed this morning was quite tough, I have to say.
Fair enough. Well, hopefully we've catered for you with the biscuits and the tea and coffee. Paul, where are you from and why are you here today? If you could sum it up in, I don't know, 10, 20 words or so, what is your involvement with mental health and the awareness that we're trying to raise today?
Okay. I volunteer with a local charity, Essex Mental Health Community, and we aim to give a voice to people with mental health problems and help to improve the services that are available at the moment.
Okay, so what sort of services then are available? Sound like a daft question. But,
yeah.
You know, someone might not know that, you know, is there a phone number, is there a website, are there sort of open days and sort of open evenings where people can come chat, or what's the sort of thing that
there's
exists?
Quite a lot of services offered during the daytime by charities like Mind and by other local organisations. What I find is that there's not a lot of services available for people who work, and that's one thing that we want to try to improve.
So kind of like before work, after work hours?
Yeah, exactly.
There's lots of stuff for 9 to 5, but there's not a lot before it or after it?
Absolutely.
Okay, because I guess a lot of the time, some of these things, you're probably all chipping a little bit here, but work can quite often be a little bit of a starting point or even an aggravator to many mental health problems. I think a lot of people get stressed out. You only got to go on the tubes in London
exactly.
at 8:30 in the morning to see people they're just playing Angry Birds, you know. But no, you know, in the serious side of it is that work can be very, very stressful.
Absolutely.
And I guess that, you know, if you haven't got something, you've got to go to work. Everyone has to go to work. You've got to pay the bills and put a roof over your head and such.
Yep.
So it's difficult to be able to do a job and ask the questions that you've got going around in your head. So I guess the services like that would be extremely useful.
Yeah, and if you don't have a support network as well with that stress, then it can be difficult to talk to somebody sometimes. So it's good if we're able to provide services for people to talk to one another and kind of relieve some of that stress.
Absolutely. So is it kind of like... Forgive me for the asking the stupid questions, but I'm hoping that I will spark the silly questions and then people will start to roll it on from there. But... are there things then? So, like, if I finish work today at 5 o'clock, is there something that I could go to this evening? Not necessarily on the Thursday, but, you know, is there something nearby that I could, you know, is there a number I could call that would be, you know, available? Is there?
There are numbers that you can call.
I'm not trying to put you on the spot with all the details.
Yeah,
just generalising.
I mean,
really.
People like Samaritans, you can always call. Local support groups, there isn't so much at the moment, but very soon there will be. We've recently secured some funding to provide support groups for anxiety, for mood, and a maternal support group as well for people with maternal mental health issues. And those are all starting in the next few months.
Excellent.
So there will be services very soon.
And I'm guessing
area.
Sort of today is about generating a bit interest or knowledge about these things and making people aware of them. And
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, please, yeah, chip in.
Can I also add that Brentwood Mine do a late night drop-in till, I think, 7 on a... I think it's a Thursday and a Friday, I think. Don't check their website. And I was going to say... Yeah, I think that is it. Like, Brentwood Mind do like a later drop in a couple of nights a week.
So, Brentwood Mind are one that we got, you know, pretty much on our doorstep here in Brentwood that could help out with those evening things. So, if you're tied up with work doing that 5 days a week, then there are options like that. There's just one that you could maybe look into, get more details from.
Yeah, there's also an OCD group there once a month on an evening on a Wednesday, I think.
All right, we'll do what we'll do. We'll have a look at all these up. We've got a couple of spare computers. We'll have a look at these up, try and find the details. We'll put them on the Facebook page, on the Twitter page as well. And, of course, we'll find them out and put them on the website phoenixfm.com so people know where to go. Boo, are you all right down there? We've got a beagle in the studio this morning. I've not got a trumpet or anything like that. I'm not going to start playing things, don't worry. We have a beagle. He's lovely, absolutely lovely. Yes, Boo, I totally agree with everything you're saying. So, Paul, what's your specific role? What do you do then? Obviously, you say you volunteer.
Yeah.
What sort of things, you know... I'll go wind it back a little further. How did you get involved?
Okay.
What was your reason for starting to volunteer for it?
Well, I think for myself, I don't have a big support network here. I moved here away from my family and was starting fresh a bit. And so when there weren't any services for me... outside of my working hours, I wanted to try to improve that. So I got involved with other people in a similar situation to try to provide those services and have people to talk to when you're feeling depressed or anxious.
It really is. It's amazing because obviously what you've done is you've found something you needed and thought, well, I can't be the only one. And you've got together and provided something for other people. And I think the thing we'll go on about quite a lot today in general, not just here, but throughout the rest of the day up and down the land, is that people are sometimes a bit too afraid to ask.
Yes.
Just a bit too like, I don't really want to ask. It's a bit embarrassing or...
Yeah.
But it's really nothing to be embarrassed about. It's nothing to be ashamed of, worried about. There's lots and lots of people like yourself who are providing things. And you've obviously... Everyone finds their own little thing and they hopefully provide something back from it.
Yeah.
So that's really good. No, thank you very much, Paul. It's really good to know that. It's nice that we've got things on our doorstep and people are willing to sort of take, I guess you can say, their own problems and helping and hopefully turning them around and getting other people together and solving them.
Yeah, hopefully. It's a really positive thing. And hopefully we've seen a lot of interest from local people who want to help out, and I'm sure that it's going to continue to grow and we'll be able to provide... support for a lot of people that previously haven't been getting it.
Absolutely. Essex Mental Health Community is the name the charity that you volunteer for. Yep. Where are they based?
In Brentwood.
Is there a sort of central hub?
We don't have an office or anything. It's a volunteer-led organisation, but you can find us on Twitter and on Facebook, and we have meetings about once a month that are in the... Buddhist Cafe, at Merrymead House.
Oh, excellent. There you go. If you want to find out a little bit more about it, of course you can head online, check out the website. We'll put all the links up, Facebook, Twitters and all that sort of stuff online. And we'll try and do a few tweets this morning as well whilst we're on air. Right, it is nearly approaching 8 o'clock this morning. We are talking about mental health today, from start to finish. Lots of people sat here anxiously waiting to get their claws in the microphones, I can tell. All that, or they're just absolutely terrified by them. I'm going to put them on air. Relax, it's fine. It's absolutely fine this morning. You're in fine hands. Well, I say fine hands, they're slightly rough. I need to get some cream on them, to be honest with you. Yes, my name's Rob. Hello, here on Phoenix FM Breakfast Show. Get your headline news in just a moment's time. Thursday morning. It's a little bit different on the Breakfast Show this morning. Why? Because we are talking. Well, of course, a little bit more than usual. It's not just me talking either. It's some of the fine people I've got sat across from the studio to me. Shall we chat with them?
Getting to know you. Getting to know
Yes. Actually, to be honest with you, it was a slightly rhetorical question, but I like it. Yes, Rob, yes. It's what we're here for. We're here sitting pretty. Sorry, that's my Ross Noble voice coming in. I'll put that away. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
That was a very unison. That was very nice. Should get you guys to sing me some jingles. You are all in this morning, and we'll do a quick whip round of the names again, just in case anyone joined us and they're thinking, well, I have no idea who these people are. You're in this morning to talk about mental health awareness, which is going on across the country today, up and down the land, and trying to get as many people talking today about mental health. So, quick whip round the questions. We'll do questions in just a second. Names, please, from left to right.
Laura.
Robin.
Daisy.
Sarah.
Emma.
And Paul has now left the building to go to work. What a man. Wearing a bow tie and didn't take the time off work either. What a gentleman. Coming in and giving us a little chat this morning before 8 o'clock. You can listen to his part of the talk this morning online later today, phoenixfm.com. Boo, you all right? Yeah? We got Beagle in the studio as well, which is even better. I'm the only one who's allowed a pet in the studio, which is brilliant. It's brilliant. We are going to start far left of mine, okay, because you have to go to work as well, don't you?
I do.
You do. Some of us have to go to work, you see. Some of us don't have real jobs like me. You just come on here and talk nonsense and play a few records and that's it. Yeah, brilliant. Hello, welcome to the show. Thank you very much for coming in this morning and getting up nice and early, even though you did say yourself it is quite early.
It is pretty early, yeah.
You were here very early this morning, but let's get into it. Who are you and what are you doing in my studio talking about mental health for? What is your involvement in it today? Or in general, what is your involvement in it in general?
Okay, my name's Laura May. I'm a manager at ECDP, which is an organisation in Chelmsford run by disabled people for disabled people, which obviously includes mental health. So I have a diagnosis of borderline personality disorder.
Okay.
And I support other people as well to get into work, even if they have a mental health problem.
So kind of a mentor type role?
A little bit. I mean, I do the communication, so I just reach the people. But we have a programme at ECDP called ECDP Works, which is a work experience programme.
Okay.
We work with a range of employers across Essex and place people in employment for a few weeks. And it's about supporting the person with the disability, whether that's physical or mental disability. But it's also about really supporting the employer to understand that you can employ someone with a mental illness.
I guess that is going to be probably quite a running theme throughout today, is that actually it's not necessarily awareness for those who have any mental health issues, but it's about those who don't and don't understand it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the biggest thing, isn't it? Well, you know, they're depressed. I don't know if I want them working for me. But there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. It's a stupid thought to be having because there's no reason why not. I think what's happened I'm just chipping in here, by all means, shut me down if I'm wrong. But I think in the last 10 to 15 years, physical disability has been addressed in a big way. It's a big thing now. There's ramps everywhere. There's lots of hearing aid loop things for hard of hearing. There's lots of now guide dogs are welcome everywhere type thing. And there's lots of accommodating for physical disability.
Mm.
But it seems there's still a lot of a stigma about mental disability.
Yeah, I mean, mental health is the last taboo, which is what Time to Change is all about.
Yeah.
It's about saying, well, actually, 1 in 4 people are affected by a mental illness in their life. So that's a ridiculous amount of the population. You can't.
Yeah.
You already employ someone with mental illness. You might not know it.
Yeah, you just don't even
but
know
you
it.
Already do. So it's just supporting employers to make sure that
they're aware of it.
They're aware of it and they know how to deal with it.
No reason why they should be treated any differently from anyone else applying at the end of the day. If they can do the job, they can do the job.
Yeah. I've got Robin here with me today, so he's an ECDP volunteer.
Robin, come in closer.
And Robin actually acts as a mentor to other people and has made a ridiculous difference to people's lives by sharing his own lived experience. So.
Absolutely. So, Robin, I'll bring you in, my friend. Hi. How are you? You all right?
I'm not too bad.
How's Boo? Is Boo all right?
Yeah, it's a bit worked up today, I think.
Excitement of all these people and such and all this technology.
Yeah, excitable.
Robin, so there you go. You're a mentor, you're an inspiration to others.
Well, I wouldn't say an inspiration. I wouldn't draw inspiration from me personally.
Don't be so modest, my friend. Don't be so modest.
It's just about sharing the experience. I mean, I suffer with a mental health problem and lots of people out there do, as Laura was saying, and I just think that normal people, as we
term them, absolutely.
You know, from the other side of the table, we're the freaks to them.
Yeah, yeah.
To us as mental health patients, perhaps you're the freaks. You're normal people. Just a bit more recognition.
I'm going to high five you
You know, high five.
Just for people to realise we're sick, not stupid.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
It's the support we need. It's not patronising, not loads of money being given to us everywhere.
No.
We just need a bit of understanding, a bit of care from the community.
Absolutely. I think it's just a friendly hello, and someone just dropping in, saying hi, drop your text, a bit of a tweet, whatever. I guess it's just about having people around you, isn't it?
Have a chat. Time to talk.
This is exactly where the time to talk trend is coming from. Mm-hmm. And on Twitter, if you're on there today, please use hashtag time to talk. We're trying to get trending across the UK, and if we can, all day, that would be amazing to get some involvement with that. So just explain to me, because I said about Boo being in here this morning. Why have we got Boo? Is Boo just a pet? I'm assuming there's a little bit more to Boo than that.
Well, we started off with the Pom Chai cross that was stolen by our neighbours.
Oh.
Two little old ladies. She was fully trained as a therapy dog, but that's a whole nother story. Boo came to us as a pup. I wanted a beagle because I wanted a beagle.
Absolutely.
I've always wanted one.
You should have what you want.
One of those things. Exactly.
You should have what you
wanted a beagle, so I went and bought a beagle. And she works with me, in all honesty. She makes me communicate with people. She helps me to break the ice a lot. I mean, I struggle to communicate, to talk, to interact with new people. And Boo just breaks that ice. She goes in, she says hello,
she's
call me.
Conversation starter.
Spot on. I mean, people come up, they say hello to the dog, and I tell you what, at our stalls, at our events, she's fantastic. People come in to say hello, and we'll get you to fill out as many forms as we can.
I like it. Stuck it in with the dog and inside the foot. No, it's really good. No, it's good that there are things like that that help. That's something that helps you.
Well, we struggle with Boo at the moment. Finding charities and organisations. There is no body, no individual body to register a therapy dog or an assistance dog with. I mean, the guide dogs are well recognised.
Yeah.
As you were saying, physical disabilities. There's companion pets, I think it's called. Canine companions, something like that. They do dogs, but they don't work with mental health patients either.
Right, okay.
And there's PAD, pad dogs, that have just come up as an organisation. We're trying to get affiliated with them at the moment, but that's in its early stages yet, so.
Okay, well, that's all right. There's things happening. The ball is rolling and things are starting to emerge from it, which is good. And it's I guess that, again, it will say it a lot today, but that is what today's about, is about raising it up a little bit more, getting a bit more, a few more people aware of it. And hopefully there'll be some people out there go, actually, I could do that. I train, might be training police dogs, guide dogs, hard of hearing dogs. That's a service we could extend, and go
forward. It's not just dogs. I mean, anyone could help with mental health. As Laura said, you probably already employ someone with mental health, you know someone with a mental health problem, and do you know what? It's just to say hello is enough some days.
Mm. Yeah,
just
absolutely.
To say hello, and do you know what? If everybody said hello, regardless of a mental health problem, then the world would be a nicer place.
Like going back to the 1930s when you walk down the street.
Morning, morning.
Bingo.
But it's things
like
that.
People smiled at each other, though. When was the last time you walked down the street and saw someone just smile at you? In the 1930s, every other person would have.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, they'd think you're crazy.
Exactly, exactly.
Why is he happy?
We live in England.
It's raining. It should be infused with a wistful melancholy or something. I don't know. So where can we find out a little bit more about
ECDP?
Don't forget, ECDP, that is ECDP. Thank you.
Or write it down properly as well, if you get it wrong.
Yeah, in case you miss that, it's ECDP.
You can go onto our website, it's ecdp.org.uk, and just /mental health, and it will tell you all the things we're doing. But we offer a whole range of services for anyone affected by mental health or disability.
Excellent stuff. You're on Twitter and Facebook as well, I assume,
course,
a little bit.
Of course, at ECDP. Who
isn't?
Find us. Yeah.
Excellent. We'll share all those things around at Phoenix FM today. You'll find it all online at phoenixfm.com, and of course we'll share it on our breakfast blog page as well at Phoenix Brekkie on Twitter too. No compare the music. We'll do that tomorrow. We are, of course, talking about mental health today. And I'm very lucky because I've been joined by lots of lovely people in my studio this morning to talk about it. Get the word out there, bring the awareness up a little bit. I'm left with a few people, we've lost a few, they've gone rummaging for biscuits, I imagine. But I did say there was biscuits outside and that was it. Shoot, they were gone. So who have we got left?
Daisy's
here.
Sarah's
here.
And Emma's
here. So we'll start with Emma.
Oh dear. It's so good.
All right.
Go on, hit me, it's fine, go on.
Emma,
yes.
What do you do?
At the moment, I work for a law firm, so very unrelated to mental health, but okay. I used to work as a peer support volunteer for Mind in Brighton when I was at uni.
Okay, right.
And I did neuroscience while I was at uni.
So I'm guessing that's how you sort of got into volunteering on the mental health side of things. And
yeah, I mean, I had a bit of a rough time back in 2009 and was quite upset with the service that I received. I went to my GP and they said, here's some pills, and I said, I don't want any pills, I want you to talk to me. And he said, well, I can't offer you that service right now because we're a GP and we're busy and I've got someone in 5 minutes. And I think that everyone should be entitled to exactly the same service. It should be streamlined across the NHS trusts. It shouldn't be, you know, just because you're in this borough. I think Sarah's certainly got experiences of that coming from a different area. It should be, I mean, I think there needs to be an overhaul in general, because I think it's still misunderstood. Everyone requires something different, but it definitely needs to be streamlined. So no matter where you are in the country, you're entitled to the same amount of support.
As if you needed something for a cold or an infection, something like that. You know, a physical infection, you need the same sort of service.
Exactly.
From your GP. But I'm gonna probably throw a little bit of an awkward question here.
Yeah, probably.
GPs go to med school for about 7 years. Mm. They learn as much as they can about as much of the body as they can.
Yeah.
How much longer will it take to get them ready properly and be in the right place to help with mental health? I know that's a really tricky question. I'm sorry for throwing it at you.
Do you know what?
You can have a think about it.
I will.
Please.
Can I just say, I think that GPs do have a really hard time, and I don't think any amount of training would, because the amount they need to know, would make them particularly like an expert on mental health, and we're not actually asking for that. We're asking for them to just spend time to understand, and if they feel that a referral needs to go to another place, like a CMHT or a CAMHS, to do that.
Okay, so you just think that they need to have that maybe like some basic training in it, so that they can at least know who to advise or who to steer you towards.
Yeah, I mean, even just a better signposting service, because I mean, I think there's services like IAPT. I don't know if people have had different experiences with IAPT, but that's improving access to psychological therapies.
Okay.
So, and that's something that's new, but people don't know about it. It's quite poorly advertised at the minute, and I think people don't know that they can self-refer. You can go via your GP, but people don't know they can directly refer to that service.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, exactly. See, no one knows about it, and I think certainly where I was in Brighton, they were quite oversubscribed. And I think that's possibly why they were holding off with advertising so much, because they thought they were going to
get bombarded
with people and couldn't deal with the demand. But certainly, it needs to happen, because I mean I'm not saying that drug therapy is wrong for people, and I don't want to put
for some people it might work.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for some people they need it in the first instance, but for me right then, that's what not what I wanted.
You just want someone to talk to.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's not a good message to kind of, it was, because that would have sent me packing and I would have gone and that would have been fine, and who knows, I could be still on them today. So this is kind of...
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And I mean, it's quite a controversial view, but I think it's important to know.
Do you know what? Sometimes you need to rock the boat a little bit, you know, and I don't think I'm going to be the only one that thinks this, and I don't mind saying it out loud. Yeah, sometimes you need to rock the boat, chuck a few people out, right, get them a bit wet, put them back in and say, now are you going to listen?
Yeah. For sure.
And I think sometimes there's too much pussyfooting around everything.
Yeah.
It's all a bit like, oh, I can't do that, it's too expensive. Sort it out properly, do it properly, or not at all. It's like, that's the other thing, is that, I say not at all, but don't do it properly, you'll only end up fixing it for the next, you know, 10 times the amount of time it's taken to implement it in the first place.
Yeah.
And I think there's this fear with mental health that people are going to say the wrong thing. And reality, that isn't really a reality.
No.
Like, just ask questions, and I'll ask them openly, and you'll probably get an honest answer.
Yeah, I think as adults, this is something I'm quite an advocate of, is that kids are brilliant, adults are rubbish. And I'll tell you why in one sentence. Kids won't lie.
Yeah.
Adults overcomplicate everything.
Yeah.
They just, everything goes to their heads. They go, like, hang on, past experience teaches me this from this situation. I can't say that because that might offend them. Can't say this. And suddenly you've overcomplicated it. Instead of just going black and white, there it is, bosh, and what do you think? And then you go, that's what I think. Whether it's not right or wrong, it's about an opinion. If someone's asking you what you think of something, it's not right or wrong, especially when it comes to this. It's I don't think there is a right or wrong. It's more about just opening the discussion and getting it heard, really.
Yeah, I think the whole thing with stigma, we haven't got history on our side, really. I think, you know, historically it wasn't great, and it's still it's improving. But I think you've even got, you know, even just negative kind of connotations of words like crazy, even the word mental, people sometimes have problems with. But I mean, when I worked in mine previously, a lot of the people that came didn't like that term. So you've even got things like that we're battling. I don't know how people feel about it here, how they feel about like, the word mentors. It's just that people use it.
You're mental, you are.
Exactly, but that's it, do you know what I mean? Like, people use those kind of words a bit flippant and don't realise who they're offending.
So. Yeah, people are quite flippant, especially companies have got a lot to answer for. So Channel 4, for example, did a massive awareness week of mental health and did some really, really great work, and then did, are you a psychopath online as a quiz? One step forward, five steps back. And I was like, that's really, really damaging and completely unnecessary. And there are people that are dealing with those sorts of personality disorders that don't really want to be labelled as a mass murderer. They're just normal people. And you're really, like, exaggerating what's an everyday condition for some people.
You're umbrella terming people, aren't you? You're putting lots of people under one umbrella term when actually it doesn't necessarily fit all of the people under it.
I think the ultimate misconception with mental health is that people can't overcome their mental health problems and live a normal life. So, for example, like employers, I used to work with someone who was really keen to get a job and he didn't want a diagnosis because he didn't want to be put under that label and, you know, that would stop him getting work. And I thought that was really sad. And he was like, I'm fine, but I don't want that label and I don't want to have to tell my employer because I don't think they'll employ me. But I think, you know, for example, if someone has, you know, an illness, like have cancer or something, that's not going to stop someone employing them.
No, of course not. No,
but
absolutely right.
I think it's just people don't realise, they feel like it's something that you're labelled with and you're fixed for life. It's not.
Just educating, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's just an education.
It's not just educating like the public as well. I think there's a lot of stigma in the mental health services as well to like different disorders. From personal experience, I was originally diagnosed with a psychotic illness. And I actually received a lot more understanding from professionals than from when it was changed then to a personality disorder, even though I was experiencing the same sort of symptoms.
Yeah, you're still the same person.
Same person, same symptoms. But people's reactions to me was very negative. And you sort of get labelled as an attention seeker, which again has sort of negative connotations because like everyone wants attention, whether that be good or bad. And to just label someone as attention seeker in a negative way isn't particularly helpful or beneficial to that person or to anyone.
No. It's just one of those where I guess it's really difficult as well to not say the wrong thing. But then as you rightly say, it's the label, isn't it? It's about having a label and then you get treated because of this particular label. And if the label changes, suddenly the treatment or the attitudes towards it changes as well.
Yeah.
And I guess that's a really difficult thing as well to get across. But I don't know, hopefully that's what today is again going to help to do, is it's going to just sort of maybe break down some of these barriers and also help to alleviate some of the, I guess, is that thing of not knowing what to say or how to say it.
Yeah. It's the awkwardness, I think, people feel.
Sometimes you just need to say it as it is in your head and then realise, all right, you might have put your foot a little bit in it, but you didn't. As long as you explain why you say what you say.
I would much rather someone being honest and upfront and quite blunt with me than going around the houses doing everything a bit sideways and not quite know what they're getting at, but still sort of get a vibe that it's probably something and not being quite sure. If someone just says, I think this is the problem, you need to do this, I'd much rather that.
Biscuits are open, the coffee is brewing. Well, as I say, can you brew coffee? That's a question. That's not rhetorical, I'm asking it out loud. Do you brew coffee? Do you know what I thought of this morning? This is totally and utterly out there, totally off the wall a bit, right? Why is it that they put tea leaves in bags, yet they crush up like coffee beans and you just put it in as normal?
Because the coffee beans dissolve.
Yeah, but surely
tea doesn't.
In this day and age, we can't invent dissolvable tea leaves.
Why would you want to?
But it's just easier, isn't it?
What do they put in?
Because think of the hassle of putting the Z-bag in. You've got to squeeze it against the side of the cup with a spoon, and then you've got to spoon it out, and then fingers, and then you put it in the bin.
That's a whole minute of your day you're never getting back.
Exactly. And I have at least 6 or 7 cups of tea a day, so that's 6 or 7 minutes a day I lose every day of the week, 5 days. That's at least half an hour a week I lose in squeezing tea bags.
You just make like a pot of tea, and then you've got like 3 cups in one.
I didn't think of that.
Oh.
See, this is why I need girls in my studio, because I'm a bloke and I don't think things like that. I'm a bit of a div.
when it comes to things like that. I am. It's just...
Well, I was on your wavelength, so...
I like it. It's good.
Phoenix FM.
I just wanna find where you are.
I have got a bit of a bone to pick, though. I've got to be said. Jake Bug, spelling bug with two G's, is wrong. Bug-ga-ga. It's Jake Bug-ga-ga. Honestly, it's just wrong. You can't use Jake Bug-ga-ga. It's like people's name's Jeff, right? I'm not having a go at Jeffs here, but if you're using two Fs, you're wasting letters. Aren't you? You're wasting letters. Jeffifer.
But Jeffrey is spelt with two F's.
Yeah, Jeffrey, that's all right.
It's different.
Because it's Jeff Free, isn't it?
Do you know what my friend's...
But just spelled really, really quickly.
My friend's brother's called Matt, and he spells it with one T.
Yeah, exactly. That is literacy efficiency, that is.
Or laziness, either way.
Or laziness, or whatever. The lovely ladies you can hear in the studio this morning have joined me to talk about Mental Health Awareness Day, which is all today, from start to finish. Here on Phoenix FM, we are showing our support for it all, inviting guests in from start to finish, and Michelle will have some as well. And we've got some more guests coming in this afternoon on 1, 2, 3, and then Mr. Brian Powers will finish the day off with even more guests than that. I've got Wayne Banks coming in. Talk on Michelle's show. We've got Eric Pickles coming in, Anne Naylor, Jan Pound, Andy Bell, Andrew Gordon, Gabby Clark, Jane Ward, Diane Fairchild, Nikki Smith, Sean Petrie, Anne Carter, Bridget Myers, Colin Wade, Audrey Clark, Peter, and Valerie Long later as well. As if I wrote that down, wasn't it? It was almost as if I wrote it down. So, girls, what are you hoping, in a minute or so, can you sum up what you hope today will do for each of your parts? Well, obviously, for anyone who's joined us, we'll get into more detail about who you are and what you do and who you work for and such like that, but what are you hoping that Time to Talk will do today, in general? Go on, then, I'll give you 15, 20 seconds, go for it.
Open a conversation about mental health in a free way that people don't feel pressured to talk about it, but like it's a normal conversation.
Yeah.
I still got time to talk.
Yeah, go on, 10 seconds.
And also to tackle the discrimination and stigma people face with mental health problems on a daily basis.
All right. I think that sums it up pretty nicely. Anything else you want to add, girls?
I think that's pretty much it, to be honest. Just encourage people to talk that may not have done before and let people know that there is these spaces where people understand mind, etc.
I guess there's two sides to this. There's people who struggle with mental health issues, mm-hmm. who hopefully will feel a little bit more comfortable to talk about it to anyone and everyone they can feel they can. But also those who are totally unaware of it, not to be scared of it. It's not something to worry about, to get stressed about,
or
to
be ashamed of.
No, exactly. It's nothing to be getting kind of tied up with. It's not to be mistaken in any way. It means nothing. There is nothing to it. It's just it's just something.
Yeah.
And it's not to be sort of dwelled upon in too much a way.
So hello, the Phoenix FM Breakfast Show with Northwood, the proper property people. Buy, sell and let. Your next move is in safe hands. Call 01708 747507.
And how's it going? Thursday's here. Can you smell that? No, not the microphone. As in, can you smell? It's the weekend. This weekend is coming. Yes. Everyone loves a weekend. Apart from those people who work on Saturdays, I can't help that. I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do. Well, there is. I can come up with an excuse why you can't go to work. Quite creative like that. Dragonate your homework. Or maybe you had to save a unicorn from a falling giant that fell down a beanstalk. I don't know. We'll work on the excuses a bit more. If you want to run Phoenix FM Breakfast on Facebook, at Phoenix Brecky on Twitter. But aside all the random tangents I keep wandering off on, there's a pathway there, I'll just mind that one. Today is about talking. Talking about mental health. Serious subject, I know, and you're thinking, Rob, this is not necessarily your territory usually. No, maybe not necessarily. But I want to talk about it. I want to do my part on the Breakfast Show this morning, along with Michelle, who'll be here after 10. Mr. Mike Jones will be in this afternoon for Bob Simpson, 1, 2, 3. And Mr. Brian Powers will also be doing the same on The Drive Show today. Phoenix FM getting right into it. Time to talk on Twitter, please and thank you. Any questions you've got? There are no stupid ones today. Please fire them away this way. Guys, quick question, because the girls have gone out of the studio for a minute. Have you got stuff for your other halves? You got other cards? Secret admirer card or anything like that?
You're all going to think I'm really mean, but I don't buy anything for Valentine's.
Have you got a little arrangement? Have you got like an arrangement with your other half that we don't...
Well, she knows I don't do it. No, I wouldn't say it's an arrangement. She knows I don't buy her anything.
No, it's fine. No, me and my other half, me and my fiance, we said, look, Valentine's Day is just basically a really commercialised thing. We do stuff together all the time. We go out and have date nights and things and buy each other stuff all the time. So we don't make a thing of Valentine's Day specifically, but we understand a card. Bingo. We do a card each, and it's a good understanding, and that's sort of sorted. But I'm thinking there will be some guys next Thursday coming home from work and going, right, where's the petrol station? And I'd love to set up a camera at all petrol stations just on the Thursday night, just to see how many people actually do it.
Do you think they're buying more flowers?
Yeah, flowers. I mean, petrol stations, the flower sales must go up 400% on the 13th of February.
Here's a tip, guys. If you forget, just tell her, I love you all year round. We don't need a special day.
Yeah! Amazing, we're so snipping that out and having that to play back for the rest of the week. Wise words from Robin there. Robin, you've come back, you brought Boo back, which is good to see. How you doing, Boo? You alright?
No, she's not going to jump back anymore. She's settled down now.
Yeah. Settled down. Robin, you came back in because you wanted to mention something.
Yeah, ECDP.
Oh, ECDP.
ECDP.
Do you mean
ECDP?
ECDP.
There you go, a little plug for them.
ECDP is absolutely essential. You all remember us. We're based in Chelmsford. We're a user-led organisation. And whether you're able-bodied or not, or you have a disability, anything else that could possibly be wrong with you, please feel free to come and join us. Contact us anytime you like. You can find us at ecdp.org.uk. And just so you don't forget us, we're ECDP.
The Phoenix FM Breakfast Show with Northwood, the proper property people. Buy, sell and let. Your next move is in safe hands. Call 01708 747507.
Hello, welcome back, girls.
Hello.
Oh, hang on a minute. Let's do that one then. And hello.
Hello.
Oh, Jelly, you are useless sometimes. That's it. So you can laugh, it's fine. I do often refer to myself in the third person when I often make a bit of a mistake. Welcome to the Phoenix FM Breakfast Show. This morning we are talking about mental health. Time to talk is the hashtag we are getting trending. Sixth in the UK at the moment.
Ooh.
Sixth place, so a little bit more tweetage, please. Hashtag time to talk. Hashtag mental health. Let's get it at the top of the pile, please. Throughout the day, we've got many more guests coming in, joining Michelle after 10 o'clock. Mr. Mike Jones will be in for Bob this afternoon on 1-2-3. He has guests as well, and Mr. Brian Powis will be back on the drive show, the penultimate drive show for Mr. Brian Powis, with guests this afternoon too. So we're going to talk to the girls a little bit more in a moment, okay? Round up what they want you to do with Time to Talk and Mental Health Awareness Day, that it is today. Go out today. If you know someone who's feeling a little bit down, feeling a little bit rubbish, not liking their job at the moment, having some problems, go and high-five them, give them a hug, and give them one from me as well, all right? Nothing like a really good, proper hug. In fact, we may even have a little studio hug while this one's playing. They've all looked really, really scared when I did that. I won't really. Well, I might. I might just go and attack them in a second. Or I might just dance around to this. You know how much I love this. McFly, Love Is on the Radio, Phoenix FM. McFly, I'm not the only one in the studio that loves them. Am I? I'm not the only one in the studio that loves them, am I? No.
don't embarrass me with the rest of the story.
It's fine, I won't. To be honest with you, I did not need to know the inside leg measurement of Dougie. That was a bit too much detail for my liking. I joke. Welcome to the Phoenix FM Breakfast Show. Thursday morning. It's time to talk, everyone. Time to talk. But who are the people in the studio with me this morning? Let's recap.
Getting to know you. Getting to know
you. I realise you're not wearing headphones, you can't hear what I can hear. This is the theme tune to Funhouse at the moment. Do you remember Funhouse?
Oh, I love Funhouse.
Yeah, it's not that, I'm lying. I'll do it, put the mic down so you can hear it.
You are precisely.
See, so there you go, put the mic up, I think, so you can hear it. Hey, sorry?
I'm singing.
You sing long. You know the words to it, don't you? Hello, girls, welcome back after your little jaunt around the Brentwood Centre to go and do some other interviews as well. Thank you for coming back into the studio. I thought, you know, we've got about 20 minutes left of the show, okay? And I thought it'd be nice for you girls to... I just kind of want to open it up a little bit and let you... If there's anything you really, really want to stress from what you do individually and anything as a whole that you want to make sure people are aware of. I think we're going to cover it a lot today with everyone coming in, and we've said it a lot already this morning, but talk, just talk. I think in today's day and age, 2014, we've got Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr and Snapchat and all this stuff, but no one talks anymore. In general, no one has conversation. Don't go to a pub and have a conversation. Everyone stands there and tweets each other. You want another beer? Yeah, I'll have another beer. What are you having? Carlsberg. Thanks very much. Obviously, that doesn't really happen, but the point is you go out to the pub, you know, or you go to a restaurant and you still sit on your bloody phones.
See,
put them down.
I think that's true. But I think social media is really important for mental health because I think it does open the doors for conversation. So for me especially, I had a breakdown 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And then I had nobody. No one understood. No one wanted to really. No one cared. They were like, "Oh no, crazy person." And I kind of just basically got shunned by people who I thought my friends, my job, absolutely everything. So, and then when I started working for myself, because no one wanted a crazy person.
Yep.
True story.
Fair enough.
Actually, in interviews, people saying, "Well, we don't really want someone who's a bit volatile." I think they expect me to go on some, because you have bipolar, you're going to go on some mass murder spree.
Yeah. Because you're going to smash everything up, aren't you?
Yeah. Or just like start singing show tunes down the hallways and stuff.
That's why I don't get jobs, you see. This is why I got employed to do the radio. So.
I would employ that person. Because I'm on my own boss, I'm like, well, there's no one here to tell me what I'm not allowed to talk about anymore.
Yeah.
So I use social media and blogging, and it's just opened up so many doors. So I've met all these guys here today. I met some really great people at Mind and Sane UK, and I've gone into businesses and talked about mental health, and there's just a community of people out there who want to talk and want to be heard.
Just don't know what to say.
So they don't know what to say, and they don't know how. And then I've had people come up to me and go, "Oh, well, you talk about mental health. Well, this is what happened to me." And people just want the door opened a little bit.
Yeah.
They just don't know who they can and can't talk to. So I think social media is really important, especially things like Twitter, because it's a bit slightly more anonymous depending on how you run your account.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess it's a tool that you can use to ask questions, and if you do want to remain anonymous, you can, to an extent. But if you want to talk to someone specifically, you can. It's very instant, isn't it? It's very
I get a lot of emails from people who tweet me or blog, or I read my blog and go, "This is our situation, we're completely frustrated." And what do I do? And I feel really frustrated because I feel like I'm not a professional, so I don't feel like I can help. But I can point them at least in the right direction. So, and I've kind of used all that energy that people have and trying to campaign to make a difference and make government focus more on mental health and distribute things, because I've only just moved here in Essex. So, hi Essex. from Portsmouth. And so for me, having to change systems from Hampshire to here, mental health wise, it's just a nightmare. And I'm luckily enough that I'm healthy enough to kind of stamp my feet a bit and use my voice and speak out, but not everyone's got that.
As I said, not everyone's so sort of brave enough to speak out.
I really appreciate when people come to me and say, "Actually, these are our problems, this is our story. Can you help us as well?" So then by using social media and blogging and speaking to everyone here, that makes it might not seem like a big difference at the time, but then when you get to the grassroots of it, I think everyone ends up making more of a difference than they realise.
I think it also highlights the simplicity of just a quick text, a quick tweet here, how much difference that can make. I mean, Robin was saying it earlier. Sorry, Robin, I'll bring you back in. Oh, but, right. You know, you said it earlier about just a simple message or a simple hello.
Just a simple hello.
Passing by hello. You know, just sometimes that is, you know, just lifts you another level, doesn't it?
One of the difficulties that I as a mental health patient face, and a lot of my friends that are mental health patients face, is that we struggle to open up and talk in the first place as a patient. One of the big things is we don't want to talk about our problems all the time.
No.
And the problem is that the normal people, as it was, sorry, you missed the bunny ears. The normal people forget that we're normal people too.
Yeah.
And we've got this label of a mental health problem, and they don't want to talk to us. They don't want to talk to us about the weather. They don't want to talk to us about our problem. They don't want to talk to us about our day.
Which is actually sometimes all you really want is you just want to talk about anything.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. Just being greeted and introduced to the open community is a massive benefit for mental health patients, and for the open community to accept us and talk to us just like they would anyone else would make a massive difference in a lot of people's lives.
As much as small conversation, you know, small talk is sort of like a part and parcel of conversation, it's actually something for some people. It's a massive thing. Sorry, go on.
And I also think like early intervention is a really big thing, and especially in schools as well. And I think there's a lot of things schools can do, because I know when I was at school, there wasn't really so much support. People knew I was struggling, but didn't really want to know. And looking back now, I think there was so much they could probably do, but were just too scared just to ask simple questions.
Yeah.
And I think that if you're a teacher or a youth professional and you're worried about a person, just approach them and ask them. And yeah. if you need support for that young person, get it from your line manager or whatever.
Yeah.
But don't be afraid just to ask questions and be there. And if the young person goes to you with their problem or something, take that as a good thing. Take it that they've actually been able to trust you. Don't see it as, oh my God, this mad person's coming to me, I don't know what to do.
No.
Be open and be actually, this person's trust me enough to tell me
to,
this.
To open up and tell me,
and
yeah.
And what can I do to try and support this young person?
Sometimes it is quite a simple act, isn't it? It's just to, I think we all get a little bit, we're all a bit guilty of it at times, aren't we? As adults, we kind of, someone comes to us and like, they get, you know, even if it's just a general everyday work problem, you got, you know, something you were doing at work and you can't do it or whatever, something doesn't work properly, you go, and we all sit there and go, oh, I don't really want to ask, I feel a bit stupid just because I should be able to do it in a spreadsheet by now. But and I mean, that's just an everyday example, but we overcomplicate it. Just ask. And if someone comes to you and asks you a question, don't treat them like they don't know. It's just, well, they entrust you, they think highly of you enough to come to you in the first place and ask.
Yeah, I think just picking back on what Robin was saying about, like, people don't want to speak about their specific problems, we're actually, myself and Laura May, who was here earlier, are thinking about starting up a group that's more generic, that's not specific to anxiety, depression, whatever, because hopefully then people will come in and feel that it's a bit more of a safe place just to come and socialise. So if you want to talk about your problems, that's great, but you don't have to, and people shouldn't feel full. So watch this space, I think.
Yeah,
there'll
definitely
be something out there soon.
There's definitely going to be more, isn't there? Go on.
I also feel
like,
the
way you put your hand up. I
think society do have a part to play in the whole pigeonholing people. Like everyone,
yeah.
Even when we're at school, we're put in a box. But really, we're all individuals and we don't actually fit in a box.
No, we're all unique.
We all have different difficulties, we have different strengths. And so mental health does pigeonhole people. You have depression, you have schizophrenia, you have bipolar.
Yeah.
When really, I don't fit into any of those boxes.
I fit
in my box. I am a daisy box.
Yeah.
And I'm quite happy with that, really. And it
it's got nice flowers around it as well. Yeah. Very nice. I like it.
It probably causes mental health professionals a bit, oh my God, I don't know what I'm doing with her because she's got these symptoms, that symptoms, a bit of everything. But that's who I am. And I'm Daisy, and I'm quite proud of that.
And I guess the thing is, if you just spoke to you for 5 minutes, have a 10-minute conversation with you, you'd actually suddenly realise how that you can help.
Yes.
You just go, you know, how can I help? You know,
I think open dialogue is so much better. Like if just someone is, what can I do to help? How are you? Things like that. Like,
conversation.
Yeah, just
hello.
Yeah, hello. Or just a smile, like was said earlier. Yeah.
I do find it quite funny when you start a conversation with somebody and at some point when you do a lot of campaigning, work with mental health, it will come up. And then you tell people, I'm always very open about campaigning because you probably just Google me and it'll come up. So yeah, I can't lie about it or hide it, not that I would want to.
No.
And people go, oh, you have bipolar. But you don't look crazy. I'm like, yeah. Wow. Well, I took my badge off today.
I'm doing a good job today.
it's little things like that I think would really help, because I think people have this perception of what mental health looks like, and it doesn't have a particular look or a badge or a T-shirt. No. We're all wearing tons of change badges today.
Yeah.
But generally, I just think the communication is really important, just to show that it's not, it affects everybody. So it could be people listening, their friends, their family. And
have a cup of tea with them.
Yeah, just have a chat.
Which is an advert. Actually,
Time to change advert.
Yeah.
Time to talk tea bags.
Jam and going underground for you, the Phoenix FM Breakfast Show. We have just got time enough for a couple more minutes of chinwag time. Which is chit-chat or talking. Whatever you want to call it, it doesn't really matter. As long as you're doing it today, that is the main thing. Time to talk is what we're talking about all day here at Phoenix FM. Supporting Mental Health Awareness Day, which is running throughout start and finish of the day. Loads of guests coming up throughout. Michelle Bob is not in this afternoon. Mike's in for him. And Mr. Brian Powers will all have more guests. I have had seven guests this morning. I don't want to look on. Boo. Sorry, Boo. I didn't leave you out on purpose, I promise. Yes, they've all come in to talk to us about mental health awareness from their perspectives, whether they volunteer for a group or they have had mental health issues themselves and their experiences. And I thought I'd just open up it now, really, to sort of say, if there's any sort of websites, Facebook, Twitter pages, anything that you've got that you think will be helpful for people to look up, because I think that is where everyone starts, isn't it? It's like it's their way, it's first sort of port of call, go online, have a look up, and then make a phone call, meet people in person. And obviously there's lots of things going on. Hopefully they can find all this out from the websites. So, Robin, we'll start with you, sir.
Okay.
What we got? ECDP, we know.
ECDP is fantastic. Our tagline, ECDP, don't forget us.
Sing it, ECDP.
ECDP.
ECDP.org, isn't it?
.org.uk, I believe.
Excellent stuff.
Yeah, so I'd like to see a bit more proactiveness.
Definitely.
In mental health.
Yes.
Do you know what? A lot of the, not only the service, I mean, generically, people consider mental health only a problem after you're ill.
Yeah.
And that's a big problem. Yeah. I mean, I personally, I go out, I know I'm ill. I tell the doctors I'm ill. But the service refuses
to be open to talk about it.
Got to be open to talk about it.
Go on in. I know you're grasping then. Go on. What have you got? Blog? Facebook? Twitter?
I don't have a blog or Facebook or Twitter.
Okay.
I'm a really good young person.
You're going out there and being real.
Yeah. I do think, though, if someone is worried about their mental health or another, to look up organisations such as SANE, Samaritans, Mind, like the national websites, because they're a good place just to start. I'd be very wary about going and looking at other sites that maybe aren't affiliated or whatever, because you don't know what you're looking at and it could mislead you. And then to contact your GP really as soon as possible, because that's the only way to get help, really.
Because I guess they're becoming more involved as well, they're getting more knowledgeable, and it's slowly but surely, and hopefully this will help guide it and push it a bit more and so on and so forth.
I do think GPs do need more support than they're getting. I feel quite strongly about that, and I think in the 10 years I've been a mental health patient in the eyes of the mental health system, I feel that my GP has probably been the only consistent thing in the all of my care. And I've been to hospitals, I've been everywhere.
Yeah.
And I actually think if it wasn't for my GP, then I don't know where I'd be. So, yeah.
So hats off to the GPs who do, I think, a fantastic job. Given the circumstances, I mean, 7 years to learn what they know, and they're still, to a certain extent, without having a go at them, not really ready yet for everything. Mm. There is just more to it. There is a lot more to it.
I have my Twitter, Smitchalot, and my blog, which is General Gubbins.
By the way, you do have a very good Twitter name, Smitchalot. I like that.
Thanks.
It's phonetically pleasing.
I like it. It makes me sound like one of the knights of the round table.
I was going to say, it kind of makes you... See, I didn't see it like that. I saw it more like a kind of a fairy or a pixie.
Oh,
in a good, cute kind of like, wand waving, like Tinkerbell.
Waving some mental health magic.
Yeah. Magic dust for you. Talk and talk. I don't know what I'm doing now. I'm just waving my arm like a fairy, which is weird.
So, yeah, there's that. And there's, I've got a big campaign at the moment for Jeremy Hunt, taking him down. It's called Stop the Cuts and Start to Care.
Okay.
It's about improving mental health services, putting service users at the heart of planning and financial ideas. And I think Daisy is really lucky with her GP. Personal experience, mine was every single mental health cliche of, you don't look depressed and bipolar, so depression then, or these tablets probably make you quite tired. Yes, I have insomnia, that's the point. Really basic, there are no stupid questions, but I think the NHS and employers especially have a responsibility. You shouldn't wait until someone turns up on your doorstep and you just think, rubbish, now I've got to do something about it. They should already be prepared, and there are the resources out there, employers as well. They can work with Mind and have training within the company, or even Essex Community Mental Health Team. Like, they're happy to help. You just need to be able to ask.
There's people out there who are willing to come in and help you and guide you and such like that.
So I think the really key thing is remembering, I think for patients especially, remember you've got a voice and don't be afraid to use it, because some people are prepared to take that away from you.
Yeah.
And it's more powerful than you think. And if
Absolutely.
You're not, because if you're not prepared to stand up for yourself, probably no one else might do it either.
And can I just add that if you are not heard the first time, don't stop and make as much noise as you possibly can.
If talking doesn't work, shout out a bit.
And I think there has been times in my experience where I've been to so many different services and no one's really listened, but I haven't given up. I've kept going to them services and saying, you need to listen. And that's what you need to do. You need to shout.
Be a bit persistent.
And make a noise, yeah.
I agree. Rock the boat, make the change happen for you.
If you don't get the change from the start, ask someone else.
Yeah, keep friends on board and they'll help you as well.
Just keep talking.
Absolutely.
I think we're massively, I mean, obviously we have touched on it, but we're addressing, like, as service users, I think we need to be addressing the public as well and saying, just because you're not a service user, please get involved, because it's really important that you have an awareness. You don't know who around you is affected. It's really important to have a voice. I mean, my friend who's a lovely training to be a doctor, she told me about a new advert about tea and cup of tea and biscuits.
Oh, do you know what we'll do? We'll put it on the Twitter page.
Oh, we'll tweet it. There you go.
All the details from this morning's show will be online. I gotta go to the news, so bye-bye.